So just a few words before we start. Just a practical thing that occurred to me. And that is, doing the just sitting practice isn't relaxing. It isn't relaxing in the normal way. Ideally it's relaxing, but at first we have to make quite a lot of effort just to stay with our present experience and keep coming back to our present experience. So what I would say is that the program's very integral. We have the walking meditation, because that's an integral part of the program that really complements the just sitting practice. But also we have these 5-minute leg stretches, and rather than just sit on through the leg stretches, you know, unless you feel strongly you want to, but my suggestion would be that you take those breaks, you take those 5-minute breaks, and you just stand up or sit at ease for 5 minutes and just completely let go. And then come back, and when you start the next period of just sitting, you start it afresh. And just sitting seems to work best with lots of short periods of meditation, rather than just one long period of meditation. So beware of dead sitting, you know, where you just sit on and you sit on, but actually, you know, there's not a lot of life in it. So. I just suggest that we take those breaks. Okay. What the main thing I want to say is, first of all, just how much I enjoyed Padmavajra's talk last night. And I just felt very, very happy after it. You know, and it just felt so good just to hear the Dharma expounded by Padmavajra so beautifully and so apparently effortlessly. Although I know there's a lot of work that's gone, into being able to teach like that. And I was very, very struck by this image of the torchbearer, you know, of Dubba holding up his finger and leading the way. And, of course, the original torchbearer is the Buddha. And that torch has been passed down through the generations to our own kind teacher, Urgyen Sangharakshita. And now it's being passed on to us. And, you know, as it says in the Threefold Puja that we did last night, a lesser lamp we light within us, the lamp of Bodhi shining within our hearts. And when we practice the Dharma, we light a light in us and we pass that light on. We pass it on to future generations. And if we're going to pass it on to future generations, we need periods of retreat. And in periods of retreat, we go deeper into ourselves, we tend the flame so it becomes brighter and brighter, so we have more to pass on to others. And sometimes you see people coming off retreat and they're shining, and that's very, very attractive to other people. But our meditation practice may not always seem like that. So this is really what I want to say, that our meditation practice isn't linear. It's not that you just go from a brighter state to a brighter state, to an even more bright state. What tends to happen is that you're aiming towards being completely at one with the just sitting practice. So there's no separation between you and the practice itself. That's what you're aiming towards. But within that, the mind's going to veer off. So that sometimes you're going to get excited, you're going to get carried away by thoughts, you just bring the mind back. At other times you're going to fall asleep, you bring the mind back, and that's natural. Sometimes you feel very happy, very joyful, you let that arise, you let that pass. Sometimes you feel pretty miserable, and you let that arise and you let it pass. And you don't have to identify with it. And after a while, you see that you don't have to identify with the passing mental states. You let them arise, you let them stay a while, you let them pass, and you know they're going to change. And you're identified with something much deeper than that. You're identified with the lamp of the Buddha, the light of the Buddha, that's trying to shine through the clouds, and that you're connected to through faith. Or to change the metaphor, you're not identifying with the surface waves, you're identifying with the depths. And as you keep bringing the mind back, again and again, you become more and more in contact with those depths. And that's what you're trying to do. And eventually, there's no separation between you doing the practice and the practice itself. You are the practice. There's no you doing it. It's just practice. And that's what Bhante means, I think, when he says, when you just sit, neither making an effort nor not making an effort. But for the moment, we have to keep bringing the mind back. We don't get caught up with we don't get caught up and chase after pleasant experiences. We don't push away unpleasant experiences, but they don't let them disturb the bigger mind. The bigger mind is there all the time, above the clouds or in the surface depths, and we start to identify with that bigger mind, and it starts to shine through into our experience as we bring the mind back, whether we're sinking, whether we're drifting away, whether we're experiencing pain or pleasure, we come back to that bigger mind, and that's our point of reference. And all the rest is just waves on the surface or clouds passing across a clear blue sky. And we don't try to push them away, we don't get caught up with them, we just let them drift across, arise and pass away. And sooner or later, you realise you are impermanence. You are impermanence. Impermanence isn't something outside. You are at one with impermanence, and you're experiencing impermanence. And with that impermanence is also the possibility of radical transformation. And when we go away on retreat, we tend the flame, we brighten the light, let it shine out more, and we take it back into the world. And that's where our Dharma has to be expressed, that's where it has to be lived, in the world with other people. Okay, that's all I want to say.